Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's the conclusion of Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane's teaching in Judges 10 called A Cycle of Misery.
Fathers in the room tonight, fathers watching the live stream, are you actually leading your family? Are you actually leading your kids towards Christ? Or are you just talking about it? Because your talk might fool me as one of your pastors, and it might fool the people around you, but God sees through the mask, through the facade. He's not interested in words, but in a posture of heart and in action. And in Joshua 24, the nation is cheating on God again, talking about pagan worship and idols. And so here's Joshua in Joshua 24. He says to the nation who is talking about who has turned their back largely on God again, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity, not just in word, but in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then you choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a powerful, bold statement from Joshua. He says, you guys make your decision, but as for me and my kids, as for me and my bride, we will serve the Lord. And we need more men and women in this culture to stand up and be willing to say to the culture, no, you want to do that? You live that way. Because you'll answer to God. But for me and my house, as for us, we're serving the Lord. And we're not going to bow to the gods of this world. And so Joshua takes a bold stand. And I'm reminded of the lyrics of Come Thou Fount, a song that we sing often, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God that I love. The decisions that you make today and your commitment to God today, I believe have a great impact on the lives of your children and grandchildren. Setting the precedent now that your family is going to serve the Lord. I wish I could tell you it's a guarantee that if you raise your kids in the ways of Christ, they're going to stay faithful to Jesus. And with two young children of my own, I find myself on a pretty regular basis putting my daughter to bed at night, asking the Lord that he would keep her on the right path. And I will tell you, as a father, that's my greatest desire, is that my daughter would stay the course. My son Titus, his name means honorable among men. That's why I picked Titus. When we were deciding, I picked Titus because I said, if there's one thing that I want for my boy, I want him to be an honorable man. And I think about the weight that that has for me as an earthly, fallible, flawed father. And then I apply it to God Almighty, who's a perfect father. And what I realize is that God so desires that I would just obey him because he loves me. God is not somebody who wants to make your life miserable. He's not some tyrannical leader. He has asked you to follow his laws because he knows what is good for you. And when the people turn their back on God, all chaos breaks out. So yes, this current generation is responsible for their own sins, but the circumstances that they're in were certainly negatively impacted by their parents and their grandparents. And so we pick up now in verse 10. It says, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you. So now in the midst of the turmoil, war is breaking out. Here's the direct consequences of their sins. Now they cry out, and it says that they said, we have sinned against you because we have forsaken our God and have served the Baals. And the Lord said to the people of Israel, this is a very heavy passage. This is the first time we see a response like this from God in the book of Judges. Did I not save you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the Ammonites and from the Philistines? The Sidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Moabites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I saved you from their hand. Yet you have forsaken me. You could say, you could put in there in parentheses, again, and have served other gods. Therefore, I will save you no more. Go out and cry to the gods whom you've chosen. Let them save you in your time of distress. Ouch. Now, if you have children, you're like, mm-hmm. I told you. I told you not to touch that. I had my daughter on Sunday. And she, during first service, I went to get a cup of coffee. And I took her in to the coffee shop. And they had these cups lined up. And I looked at Melody and I said, don't touch those. And you know what Melody did? She touched them. But she didn't just touch them. She smacked the first one and like dominoes, all of the cups all over the coffee shop floor. And I said, we're here. Here I am. And so, like any father, I knelt down and I said, pick those up right now. And the vein was bulging. And I said, I told you not to touch those. Pick them up right now. Okay, Daddy. So cute. You can be mad at her for 2 seconds. She put them back. And that is us. Isn't it? It's the oldest story in the book. God says, you can have everything, just don't touch that tree. And Adam and Eve are like, okay, I'm going to go touch that tree. And you're like, what are you doing? He said you could have everything. And here comes the enemy. Did God really say that? Actually, what you don't know is that God wants to limit your knowledge. He knows that if you eat of that tree, you're going to be like him. It's the oldest lie in the book. You don't need to obey God. You know better. There's a word for that kind of behavior. Pride. His ways are higher than our ways. Look, I have had many times in my life where I have thought that I've got a pretty good plan. And then I try to live it out and I fall flat on my face. And God is faithful every time to pick me up, dust me off, and say, do you want to try it your way again? Or do you want to do it my way? And some of you keep falling flat on your face because you keep thinking that you've got it figured out. How's it working? We look at the nation of Israel in this passage and we can say, what are they doing? Why won't they just obey God? But then you got to look in the mirror and say, but am I doing the same thing? Am I obeying God or am I trying to live the way I want to live? And the times in my life where I have been the most miserable have been the times where I'm trying to do it in my own strength, according to my own plan, to serve myself. I've been utterly miserable. And the people in my life who loved me the most are the ones who are willing to say, I think something's off. Maybe you need to re-examine. I've shared this before from the pulpit, and I'll share it again. One of the things that my dad said to me growing up that I will never forget, there was a lot of discipline that happened in the house with three young boys. But there is one thing that happened that I will never forget. I remember my dad, I was a teenager. I had done something. My dad came into my room. And he simply said this, Shane, I'm telling you this because I don't think that this thing that you're doing will fare well for your character. He didn't need to ground me, take away my cell phone, or threaten me with a bunch of stuff. You know what was so effective is for him to simply say, this will not fare well for your character. This behavior, this tendency that you have, it doesn't look good. It doesn't reflect Christ well. So work on it and let him work on it because it's not good. And so God says, you guys have turned your back on me so many times. You can go and cry out to the gods that you've chosen over me. Psalm 119:71 says, it is good for me that I was afflicted that I might learn your statutes. The psalmist says, my affliction drove me to the point where I finally surrendered. There's a lot of things that we could talk about as by way of practical application for us tonight with this idea in mind. But I'll simply say this. Good parenting disciplines children because you actually care. Can you imagine for a moment if my daughter was going to do something that was putting her in grave danger and I chose to say, let her live. She can do what she wants. No, as a good father, I intervene because I love my daughter and I want what's best for her. Not because I want to ruin her life, although I think she thinks that sometimes when I take her blankie away, even though it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she doesn't need a blankie because we're going somewhere and it's a full-size blankie. So this is a blankie that she has. She wants to take it everywhere. It's like a full-size queen mattress and she wants to stuff it in the car seat with her. Daddy, I want my blankie.
You'll hear more from Pastor Shane Lance in a moment.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder. You can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk or maybe you're doing the dishes. Anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God, Pastor Michael and the entire Walk in Truth team is here for you. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple podcast app or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded.
Hey there, are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show.
Now, back to Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane, on Walk in Truth.
I've shared this before from the pulpit, and I'll share it again. One of the things that my dad said to me growing up that I will never forget, there was a lot of discipline that happened in the house with three young boys. But there is one thing that happened that I will never forget. I remember my dad, I was a teenager. I had done something. My dad came into my room, and he simply said this, "Shane, I'm telling you this because I don't think that this thing that you're doing will fare well for your character." He didn't need to ground me, take away my cell phone, or threaten me with a bunch of stuff. You know what was so effective is for him to simply say, "This will not fare well for your character. This behavior, this tendency that you have, it doesn't look good. It doesn't reflect Christ well. So work on it and let him work on it because it's not good." And so God says, "You guys have turned your back on me so many times. You can go and cry out to the gods that you've chosen over me." Psalm 119:71 says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." The psalmist says, "My affliction drove me to the point where I finally surrendered." There's a lot of things that we could talk about as by way of practical application for us tonight with this idea in mind. But I'll simply say this, good parenting disciplines children because you actually care. Can you imagine for a moment if my daughter was going to do something that was putting her in grave danger and I chose to say, let her live. She can do what she wants. No, as a good father, I intervene because I love my daughter and I want what's best for her. Not because I want to ruin her life, although I think she thinks that sometimes when I take her blankie away, even though it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she doesn't need a blankie because we're going somewhere and it's a full-size blankie. So this is a blankie that she has. She wants to take it everywhere. It's like a full-size queen mattress and she wants to stuff it in the car seat with her. "Daddy, I want my blankie." But for us, we have tendencies. And God is trying to strip us of those sinful behaviors and desires. And we sometimes hold on. We're white knuckling it. "No, God, I got it. I want this. This will be good for me. And God's like, let it go. It is not doing you any favors. And so I love that in Psalm 119. Through my affliction, I've learned the statutes of God. And here's something else that we see. There's a time where God's infinite justice collides with his infinite mercy. And only God knows where that point is. But at a certain point, please hear me tonight, church. If you allow sin to continue to dig roots and dig into your heart long enough in your life, at a certain point, and I don't know what that point is, and I hope that I never find it, God will say, okay, go ahead. I don't know what that is for you tonight. If it's a pornography addiction, you think you've got it under control, but you don't. It consumes you. Surrender it at the feet of Jesus, because it will continue to eat away at your very soul. If it's some sort of substance or some sort of escape, if it's alcohol, if it's I don't know. I don't know what it is for you. I really don't. But I know this. If you allow that thing to continue to grasp onto your life, it will just continue to kill you. And it is a scary place to be when God says, go ahead. You got what you wanted. Now you've made your bed, if you will. Now you can sleep in it. And so it would seem from the language of the text that God can see that their repentance is not super genuine. He doesn't raise up another judge immediately or deliver them immediately. He says, no, I'm not going to save you right now. You're going to actually suffer the consequences for a while. And so we don't know exactly how long this goes on. But this also just continues to speak to the heart of our God. So it says in verse 15, and the people of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned, do to us whatever seems good to you. So this is their repentance, right? Only please deliver us this day. There's a desperate plea. And so they put away their foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. And then this is the key verse here. It says, the Lord, he became impatient over the misery of Israel. I thought there was some interesting insight here. One commentator I read said this, it would seem that their repentance was not really genuine because they're just crying out because things have gotten pretty bad. But what drives God to finally send them a new judge, which we'll see in the next chapter, is that he grows tired of watching his children suffer. That is the heart of our God. And I don't want to miss that tonight as we close our time together. That even in the midst of the nations, of the people of Israel's repentance seeming to be not totally genuine. And many of you have been in this spot, right? God, I promise if you just bail me out of this one, I'll serve you. I promise I won't do this again. And actually, in the next chapter, we're going to see the danger in making foolish vows before God that you can't actually keep. And we've been in that spot so many times, right? God, if you just bail me out of this one, I won't do this ever again. I don't want to do this ever again. And then it's like sometimes minutes later, we're in the same mess. But God is so just and yet so merciful that the scripture says that as he watches the people suffer, he grew impatient or tired over the misery of Israel. And then what we see in the last two verses of this chapter is kind of a shift of gears now. Now we shift over, if you will, like a movie. The camera jumps to the battlefield. And now it says, then the Ammonites were called to arms and they encamped in Gilead. And the people of Israel came together and they encamped at Mizpah. And verse 18, and the people, the leaders of Gilead said to one another, who is the man who will begin to fight against the Ammonites? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And so arrives Jephthah. And we'll see that in chapter 11, the next judge of Israel. As we close tonight, here's my last thought for you. What we've just seen is a series of events that we've seen repeated over and over again in the narrative of Judges. That cycle. And some of you can really, well, all of us in our human condition, but some of you maybe right now can really resonate with that cycle, because you're right smack dab in the middle of it. You serve the Lord, you're faithful, you start to wander, your heart grows cold, you start to fall into sin, you deal with the consequences of that sin, you find yourself repenting on your face before the Lord, he redeems you and restores you, and then that sin begins to creep back in. Maybe it's complacency, passivity, an addiction, whatever it might be. The cycle doesn't have to continue. There is deliverance and redemption and freedom in the name of Jesus. The cycle doesn't have to continue. And so we can learn some hard lessons from the people of Israel in this text. And I pray that each one of us would say, God, reveal the things in my life that might be like that cycle. If I have sinful behavior that I can't seem to shake, and we probably already know what it is. In fact, as soon as we started talking about this tonight, we all have things that come into our mind that we know we need to shape up in that area. But it's not going to be us just trying harder. That's not going to do it, friend. It's going to be you surrendering that thing to the Lord and giving it to him on a daily basis to say, I want victory in this area of my life, and it's going to have to be through your strength. Amen? God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that you are so merciful. That's really, I think, the biggest takeaway from this text, is that you will allow us to suffer the consequences of our sin, but you are still so merciful and so loving and such a good father that your heart breaks when we are suffering. You don't take pleasure in us suffering, but you will allow us to suffer if it will refine us and bring us to the end of ourselves. And so I pray that if we need to be brought to the end of ourselves tonight, if there's pride that has separated us from you, if there's things in our lives that we've held on to that we need to surrender to you, that you would give us the strength to do that tonight. I pray for those who are doing well tonight, who are living for your kingdom, who are in the battle on the front lines, Lord, that you would encourage them, equip them, strengthen them. I know there are many faithful saints in this room tonight. And so would you keep us on the right path, Lord? It is a daily surrendering for us to live the way you want us to live. And so we give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you that you preserve this nation, and ultimately the Messiah came because of your preservation of these people. You are paving a way for the messianic line, for the cross to come, for us to be redeemed. And so this is a part of our story. And so we thank you. And as we continue this study, would you continue to grow us in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? We ask in your name. Amen.
You've been listening to A Cycle of Misery, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane's teaching in Judges chapter 10. If you missed any part of today's program, Walk in Truth is on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many more podcast apps. Listen for free to Pastor Michael's teachings in more books of the Bible. You can email Pastor Michael with your questions you may have from his teaching today, or maybe you have a question about something else, or need encouragement, or prayer. Maybe you'd like to share how Pastor Michael's teachings have affected you. You can email Pastor Michael at contact@walkintruth.com. That's contact@walkintruth.com. And thanks for reaching out. You can also find our mailing address on walkintruth.com. We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow for Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 14 called The Riddle of Samson.
Can you see that when you become a believer, there are things that come to you and you realize, you know what, there's a responsibility here because I belong to the kingdom of God. And if we were going to be really honest tonight, while it is my joy to serve the Lord and his commandments are not burdensome, it's sometimes a burden to my flesh to do the right thing consistently. And I'm trying to hit 100%, I'm not thinking that God's grading me on a curve, right?
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.